Moody Radio Cleveland with Dr. Glenn Duer, Professor of International Studies at Cedarville University. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. At first, when I saw your topics, as you help us kind of make sense of things going on around the world, I was like, Brazil's election? Why are we talking about them? Why should we care about what's going on in Brazil?
Absolutely. It's the fifth largest country in the world in terms of land mass and population. So very significant player. And then we've seen massive growth in the evangelical church there as well. Yeah. And certainly being in the same hemisphere, it's a big deal there. But much like our politics, significant division internally. And really, in many ways, it was almost like a Biden-Trump matchup in Brazil's equivalent. A lot of parallels between candidates, and certainly an election that finished on a knife edge, a little over 2 million votes separating the two candidates, but less than 2% overall. So very, very close, deep divisions within the country, and then a real reason for prayer for us in the United States as well.
Why do you say prayer? I understand in the Western Hemisphere, it's a major player. It's a big country. It's also a democratic country. What are things we should pray about in connection to the elections?
Absolutely. Christians, like anyone else, are heavily involved in the political process. Some supported one candidate or the other, typically one candidate in particular, but at the same time, there are divisions within families, things that don't split evenly. And so for the church to maintain its witness, to continue to move forward and to continue to share the gospel, because many Brazilians have come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that that would continue and that politics wouldn't get in the way as well.
I noticed as I kind of did a little bit of research that the elections kind of brings up the question on, is democracy threatened by this recent election? What are your thoughts on this?
Sure. It's a great question because many people have kind of soured on and saying that democracy is threatened. And there are fair points to be made there. But you know, globally, freedom has really advanced very, very dramatically in the last 200 years. I think a point I made last time I was on with you, and it's really been quite remarkable in terms of democratic and constitutional rights, how many people have moved forward with that. But certainly we have seen a fallback, a backsliding in democracy in a number of places since really 2006 or 2010, and it's one to take seriously. But at the same time, we should count our blessings and to say, look, the world is still very free. There are still very strong institutions in the United States and Brazil, and certainly things about which to worry and points of concern, because we're navigating a new world with massive amounts of improvement in technology, vast expansion of freedom of speech in social media. And there are challenges and undulations that come with that.
Yeah.
What are the boundaries of the free speech? At what point should I say something? At what point should I not say something? Discernment is very, very important for all people, but especially followers of Christ.
Oh, that sounds, it's definitely lots to think about and pray about in connection to Brazil. We also wanted to talk about the UK and the prime minister there. We just talked about their election and their pick of the new prime minister, and there's been some changes. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, absolutely. It's been a really crazy time in the United Kingdom, a lot of instability politically. This is the third prime minister in 7 weeks. So it doesn't normally happen that way.
Right.
Liz Truss is out as prime minister. She is the shortest serving prime minister in history.
How long did she serve?
In total, 49 days.
Wow.
And when we go back in history, you have to go back to 1827, Prime Minister George Canning, who served for a little under 4 months. That was the record she beat. Politics is hard, and it's not going to be great for her legacy. But at the same time, she's not giving up. She's still going to be in the government. And, you know, there are lessons to be drawn here. But the new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is really marks a generational change. Mm-hmm. 42 years old, first from a South Asian background to serve as the Prime Minister. So a big change there. And I think really the bottom line as well is that many members of the Conservative Party were concerned about the next election and whether Liz Truss would be able to win it. It was mm-hmm. the same reason, ultimately, why Boris Johnson was ousted as well. And so with Rishi Sunak, his back's against the wall in many regards. The Conservative Party's down significantly in the polling. That's beginning to rebound a bit with him in place. But certainly a lot of people will be looking for the next matchup, which could come in the next year, 2 years, somewhere in there. It's hard to predict because a lot of people, especially in the media, are clamoring for another general election. Mm-hmm. Because it was Boris Johnson who won the mandate in December of 2019. And the argument from the opposition is that we've now seen two new prime ministers that don't have the mandate, so there should be a general election. Yeah. But there's no necessity for it to be called. And so certainly we'll be watching Mr. Sunak as a new generation of leader. He's, like I said, 42 years old, so it's the first mm-hmm. Person really in Generation X, millennial generation. He's right kind of on that, that bubble between the two. And so it does mark a significant change as well.
So given the resignation of the former prime minister, did the people get to pick Sunak?
No, not directly. It's not the way the system works.
Okay.
It depends because it does fluctuate and it does get very complex, but I'll boil it down quickly. There's what's called in the Conservative Party the 1922 Committee that was set up in 1922 and kind of first moved forward in 1923, but it's put in place for the backbenchers, the members of Parliament in the House of Commons in the Conservative Party to basically give an avenue to get rid of the prime minister if he or she does not have the confidence of the party. Mm-hmm. And then those members likewise get to vote on anyone that stands for the position of prime minister. And three candidates initially rose up to suggest interest in it, including the former prime minister, Boris Johnson, who could have come back. But ultimately, the two contenders stepped down and Rishi Sunak was elevated and effectively won because a lot of the MPs of the Conservative Party backed him. And it didn't go to a wider vote with the party members within the country. That's usually what happens at the next stage. And that's how Liz Truss actually ended up as prime minister as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons for the clamoring for the next general election. Is because of the point you just raised.
Yeah.
You know, what do the people actually think about it? But the Conservative Party has a very significant majority still in the House of Commons, and an election can occur as late as January 2025. So we shall see.
Okay, sounds good. Lots to think about and lots to pray about. Dr. Glenn Dewar, Professor of International Studies at Cedarville University, thank you so much for helping us think through things going on around the world. If people want to get more information about you or Cedarville for their child or friend, where can they find you and get more information?
Absolutely. Thank you. The website is the easiest access point, cedarville.edu, cedarville.edu. This Friday, we're hosting what we call a Cedarville University Friday, a CU Friday, mm-hmm. and it's a great place for prospective students to come check out campus. I know this one's probably late for many, but we have them fairly regularly throughout the school year.
It's a great school to consider, an awesome school, and you're listening to Dr. Glenn Dewar. If you want to connect with him specifically, use the website, and you can also come to us, and we'll connect you.
Right.
Thank you, Dr. Dewar.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.